This is a special morning where we have what we call Expo, where the ministry gets to express to you what many people in our church are doing by way of service. We have, for example, the ladies produce meals for people that are shut in or they've lost a loved one, and they deliver a meal to the family. We have visitation. We have a number of women ministries, Bible studies, mothers teaching young mothers, all kinds of ministry. And many times you don't know what it is that we do. So we set up this morning a special morning where after the service we'll go down the sidewalk to the family center, and there are tables set up in there, and you can just go in and mingle, look around, and maybe you would like to volunteer or pray or just get involved or just be informed about all of these various ministries. I'd like to start the morning off by asking the leaders of these different groups to come on up on the stage. So if you're one of these leaders of an outreach, then just come on up on the stage right away. And while they're coming, would you stand up with me and just stand up and praise the Lord and say to your neighbor, praise God, I'm glad you're here today. God bless you. The microphone. Yeah. So one of the works of God by the Spirit of God is just to put in our heart a desire to be available to serve. Maybe we interviewed these people and said, did you first discover your gifts when you started to minister? I think many of them would say, no, I don't know what my gifts are even today. I might not know all that I have, what my gifts are, but when I started to minister, I just was available, and I just went by faith, and I started to do something that would edify the body and build up people. So let's just pass the microphone. Just say, what do you do? Very shortly, one sentence.
A sports club at Pedersen Park.
Visitation, pastoral care.
Youth ministry and the Laurel Bible study.
Outreach on Southeast Overly.
Dan Eaton, we do a little bit of confrontational door-to-door and when we come up with a visitation from Fells Point.
Whatsoever the Lord requireth.
Junior teen ministry.
Junior teen?
Junior teen.
Okay, here's junior teen ministry. What are the ages?
Ages range from 11 years old to 14 years old, 6th to 8th grade.
Can you imagine? You're 11 years old, 12 years old, and you're with this guy. And by the way, he is in our Easter play. What part does he play? And yesterday he was in a cafe in the barista. It's called him Jesus. Is that right?
Starbucks.
Starbucks
barista, yes.
East Baltimore and beyond, sharing the good news of God's saving grace through Jesus Christ.
Parkville Southeast Community Group, visitation, outreach, and prayer meetings, and whatever else God has.
A new outreach, a warrior call, where we reach out to our wounded vets who have post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Let's see, Pastor Mickey.
We have an outreach to the Pikesville area, which is largely a Jewish area, so thanks for your prayers. When the persecution comes, we need your prayers.
Suzette?
Volunteer in pastoral care office, and also work with the Women of Wisdom team in outreach.
The 21206 area with InReach Outreach, and also with several other things with veterans and hunting type of things with people.
Hunting.
Feed the troops. I'm with my brother Harold here, Northeast Great. Overly.
Great.
Parkville Southwest, evangelism, visitation.
Great. Okay. Okay, so after the service, we can go down to where they are, and we can be with them and just say maybe there's something there that you'd like to jump in and help out, and then, you know, that's a possibility. So thank you. Okay, you made this. You may be seated. Lord, we pray that you would minister to our hearts this morning, because we are in a battle for the souls of men, families, young people. We're in a battle for our nation, for the church, for the mission. We are learning, growing in our faith. And we ask for guidance in these important days. Jesus, we are the church. We are your body on the earth. You are our head. We are fitly framed together. And we have your mind and your heart at different times and different degrees. And we pray you would fill us, anoint us, and lead us. We think of the Lange family today in Hungary, Pastor Mati in Oman, Niazi in Turkey, Pastor Carl in India. We think of your work in Central America, your work in America and here in Baltimore City. Thank you for these people that were on the stage here, for their faith, for their hearts, for your work, Lord. Yes, Lord, bless these words. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to Proverbs 21, verse 16. As just one verse I want you to learn, memorize, think about. Uh, In the last few days, I've been studying on the subject of sin and thinking how many people misunderstand that subject. How Christ came into the world and told us what it is. And in the Old Testament, we see a variety of words on the subject, as we see also in the New Testament. Many times people say, I don't want to hear about it. And even preachers on TV, unfortunately, also in churches, they stay away from the subject. They don't want people to feel guilty. They don't want people to be offended. They don't want people to leave the church. They want people to be entertained or feel good and never deal with something much, very important that is in our lives that is also very destructive. excuse me. Let me see. Where did I put it? Yeah, here we go. A few words that I have just to introduce our theme, and the message will be edifying today. The word in the Hebrew ra is meaning to break up or ruin. It is translated in the Greek poneros, which is the word wicked. It's translated often in the Old Testament as evil or wicked. And I think of this automatically, that when you have something very good and beautiful, how in evil would like to break it up or destroy it. It's 444 times in the Old Testament. I was also thinking about the United States of America in that regard. I think there is an evil design by Satan to destroy, break up, or ruin our country. He has a design to break up or ruin a family. He would like to break up or ruin you. Well, this word, as well as a few others that I want to share this morning, just as we move along here, we have the word to wander. And this is Proverbs 21:16. The man that wanders out of the way of understanding. The word, I think I have this running, is that right? Yeah. We have this word ra, for the word wicked or evil. We have this word shagag. And this is a going astray like a sheep or a drunk man. And the going away or erring, it's translated to err, like to make mistake or to err. And the idea is that I start deliberately, I err, I know about it, but where it leads me, I don't really see where it will take me. Like a drunk man, when he starts to drink, he knows he is drinking and he may lose his judgment. But then, so he starts deliberately, and then he finds himself in trouble not knowing. So we have this word, and then another one, and this is the word in Proverbs 21, ta'ah, I believe it is in the Hebrew, pronounced that way. Wander away to go astray. It is not accidental. And here we have Proverbs 21:16, the man that wanders out of the way of understanding. He is... And how it could be deliberate and not accidental, because the idea of wandering is kind of like accidental meaning. But actually, there's something deliberate about it. That on purpose, I am leaving the understanding. And this happens often because of our emotions. I am hurt, I am affected in my emotions, and so I move off out of the way of understanding, verse 16, and shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So That's our beginning thought there. People moving off from where they are. Now go to Psalm 119, please, where we have the Psalm 119, which I have encouraged you to read over and over, has the idea of being unstable, but finding my stability in understanding. Being unstable, maybe we can say emotionally, by way of sin, by way of temptation, by way of failing, by way of falling, by leaving my faith, leaving what I understand to be true, leaving where I am rooted and grounded, leaving where I am established in the faith, walking with Christ. And Christ led the disciples, and he saw how easy it was for people to depart. There are many reasons why, but the basic, you know, these three words, these three words cover a spectrum of what is called sin, which is my self-life. Here we have Psalm 119, and I just want you to see this, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord. Verse 34, give me understanding. 35, make me to go. 36, incline my heart. Who is doing the action? God is doing the action. I am not doing this. You lead me, incline me. You teach me, you give me, you make me to go in the paths of your commandments. And I believe in this. I'm sure you do. Verse 37, turn away my eyes. Who does the turning? God turns my eyes. Thank you, Lord. Verse 38, establish your word unto your servant. God does that. Turn away my reproach, verse 39, and then verse 40. Behold, I have longed after your precepts. Quicken me in your righteousness. This is the first point of our message this morning. I am a sinner, and you read Romans 7, and find some very powerful words there on the subject of sin. What it does, how it grows, how powerful it is, how it affects me, how it revives. It bubbles up in my heart what sin is, what it does. It leads me. I wander off knowingly, and then sometimes it leads me off, and I don't really know the trouble that I am in, like a drunk man who fell in the Mississippi River a few years ago that I read about. He was he had oil, he had a lot of money, he had a family, and he was drinking in New Orleans one night at 3 a.m. He disappeared. He'd fallen off the pier, and they found him. He had no idea that night. He wandered off, and the wandering led to wandering. Well, sin is our big problem. United States of America, we have a political contest, but we have a deeper problem. It's our sin. It's our bad habits. It's our way of thinking. It's our education without God. It's our not fearing God. Well, I do not expect 330 million Americans to fear God, but we expect some. We are the salt of the earth. We are the lights of the world. We have people that have found Christ and not our sin. We know sin and we learn about it, but then we have found Christ who has come into our lives. Glory be to God. And he exchanged our sin for his righteousness. His new life, his resurrection, his quality of life, that God became a man forever, and that man would be like God and have a new life and a new nature that has no sin in that nature. That's important. We have the man, here we are, and it's as if we have two natures. We have one that is without sin. We have one that is sin. We have a nature where I am a sinner and I wander off. That's T-A-A-H. Wander off and deliberately. One of the things that Christ said in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 22, 23, is that out of the heart of man is foolishness. And I've seen that in my heart. Foolishness. It is not reasonable, but I don't care. It's going to cause a lot of pain and a lot of death and a lot of hurt, but I don't care. It's not going to be good at the end. I don't care. There's a Greek word for this. It's translated understanding. I want to just share this with you, understanding. It's the word sunesis, and it means to see the end result or the consequences of a thing. It's what God gave wisdom, God gave Solomon. When Solomon had wisdom and understanding, and the third word was prudence, we have sunesis is one of these words. It's this Greek word, and it means that you can add the parts together and see where it's going. That's one of the reasons why, you know, people think we're not into drinking alcohol because of some, I don't know what their opinion is, but we do it because I see where it might take somebody. I see they may end up in a hospital or a divorce, and many times when people drink, they start to say things without any inhibition, and then the next morning they wonder, what did they say? They offended a friend, they offended their wife, they offended their husband, they offended their children, they made a stupid phone call. We see the end result of that habit or activity. Or stealing money, or offending people, or stop going to church, or stop a devotional life, or stop believing, or stop trusting. Well, we see where it goes, but the foolish heart doesn't care about where it goes. That's why I need Christ in my life. That's why I need the doctrine in my soul. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. And I heard Roger and Lizzie had a great time in Turkey. With Muhib and Pastor Matt LaFlame. And they were in Turkey, and Muhib shared with me yesterday, and they just the passion, the excitement, the kind of sense of direction. It's beautiful to think about it. I do not think people get to this place where you saw on the stage here today by just making one decision. It can happen, but I think there are many decisions that we make way back before we make some decision, way back in our heart, way back that is rooted in this, look up at the screen, this new nature, and that nature has no sin. That is Christ, Christ in us. He has no sin. That's 1 John 3, 8 and 9. That nature never sins. That nature is in my sinful body. But that nature never sins. But I sin. But when I sin, actually Romans 7 says, it is no longer I, but it is sin that dwells in me, because God identifies me as the new man. God says, you are a new creation. You'll never stop being one. You're a new creation that never gets old. You're a new creation, and I renew your mind so that you understand me. And you don't wander off out of the way of understanding. If you do, you will remain in the congregation of the dead. Remain. Like frozen in my foolishness, or frozen in my wandering and my deliberateness of it. Because my sin nature has no authority over my discouragement. Now, I think that's what happens. People get discouraged, withdrawn from doctrine, withdrawn from reality, withdrawn from Christ, withdrawn from faith, and they back off and remain as a believer in the congregation of the dead. Well, what does that mean? Maybe you could say it would be a group of guys at the bar room. Maybe it would be a group of guys in the clubhouse. Maybe it's the congregation of the dead is in front of the television. Maybe the congregation of the dead is where there just is no life. There is no Christ. There is entertainment, but not Christ. There are celebrities, but no man or woman of God. There are words, maybe a university, congregation of the dead. There is no Christ, there is no faith, there is no Holy Spirit, there is no body life, there is no ministry, there is no cross there. So 1 Peter 5, read it with me. We read this word, we've had this as our theme this week, humility. Humility is important. Verse 5, writing to the elders. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. I was with Pastor Carl in India, as many of you know, and we had an amazing time of fellowship in the congregation of the living. Pastor Carl is expressing the spirit of love, faith. I'm going to be dancing on the platform next year, he said, to the congregation. His spirit of love, spirit of faith, his wisdom, his twinkle in his eye. His angelic wife, Susan, who's taking care and helping, and they're ministering together and moving on. And I just saw humility. Humility which shocks me. Humility that is nothing less than the person of Christ. That we are submitted. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Exalt you. Promote you. Lift you up. The inner man. The wisdom. The clarity. The simplicity. The joy. Casting all your care. Anxiety is the Greek word there. Cast all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. Now here it is, verse 8, be sober. That's another way of saying be doctrinal. Be doctrinally sound. Be sober, have gravity, gravitas. There's a word there where like an elder man he's serious because he's learned in life. And there's some gravity and weight in his conversation and in his life. This is like a believer, a young man who is serious about what he is engaged in. He is serious that our nation needs men and women of God. It will not be solved in a political realm. We pray for that. We pray for that. We want that good politicians, definitely. That's part of the battle. But there's a deeper one, and that is what we saw on the stage here. That is you and me. That we are sober and vigilant. Vigilant. Determined. Got it. Lasered in. Locked in. Know something. I'm a servant. Maybe I could teach in the Sunday school. Maybe I can help in the young people. Maybe I can visit the elderly. Maybe Pastor Jason could use me in the hospital. Maybe I could be on security. Maybe I could just show up early and pray. Maybe I could just be here as a faithful body member and just be praying for what is going on by God's grace in the assembly. Be sober, be vigilant, because you're adversary, the devil. Another subject of my study this past week, and I got some things I want to say about the devil in the upcoming weeks. But I am shocked by his power. I don't want to be negative, but I am shocked by India, by the idolatry, which I go every year for 20 years, so I'm not shocked in that way. In the Islamic world, in the Christian world, I am amazed. I am shocked. I realize he has so much power, and what he can do with leaders, what he can do with important people. I am amazed at the power of the devil. I really believe in it. But there is an answer. It's up on the board there. It's the new nature here. It's my new heart. It has no handle for the devil. Christ and the devil are detached. Christ does not listen to the devil. Christ is not submitted to the devil. The devil has no power over Christ. And the body of Christ is made up of these people, you and me, though not perfect, but we are able to live in Christ, just drawing it this way. Here we are as a body, and we have the nature of Christ in us, in fellowship. And we know we have a connection. When Mary said to Elizabeth, when she greeted Elizabeth and the baby leaped, John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb, it was more than just a cute story in our gospel. It has a spiritual message. When Christ in you, Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And when Elizabeth heard her voice, that John the Baptist, and it said he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That means there was a connection. Same with us. You did not come to the church to hear garbage. You came to the church to hear a clear sound. You did not come to the church just to be entertained. You came to the church to be edified. You did not come to the church just to, like everybody, smile, slap each other in the back, say you're a nice guy, and go home. We came to get Christ, reality, wisdom, doctrine, edification, correction, and build me up, because we are in a warfare that is for our nation, our country, our schools. It's amazing. There's a ridiculous something. Sometimes you hear it in the news and it gets you worked up. I'm going to repeat one thing. On one hand, I don't care. The other hand, I do. Out in Illinois, there's a high school. You know the story? There's a high school. There's a kid out there who says he's a girl. He's a boy, but he says he's a girl. So the school's bent over backwards. He said, I want to use the girls' bathroom. So they do. And then he says in the locker room, he wants to be in the girls' locker room. So they built a thing for him that he could have his place in the girls' locker room. Now he says, I want to take showers with the girls. The principal said, it's impossible. Can't happen. Not going to happen. Washington, D.C. says it has to happen or you lose your federal money. What? What? Our leaders in Washington are so demented that they make those judgments that actually is like news, that people are talking like that. So there you go. That I said what I wanted to say. Hey, I'm done. Finished. One hand, I could care less. On the other hand, these people are running our country. That they are the leaders, they are the guardians of our people, of our states, of our governorships, of our principals and schools and hospitals and the military, and they got a finger for a button, and they make those judgments. Man, I just say, ooh, this world is on shaky ground. The only answer, unless you wise up, you and I wise up and get it right, then it goes down the toilet. Unless you and I wise up and we get it right, our own family, our friends, people we know at work, we need to be diligent and sober and doctrinally sound and have something in us that is steel and is reality, and we didn't make it up. It was given to us. Jesus came to give us not sin, not wandering, not deliberate wandering, not rebellion, not tearing down and breaking up and throwing away, but he came to give us himself. The God that made this world dwells in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God that made the world came to dwell in us and be in us and to give us his life and make it possible for us to minister. All right, these are high-level things, and yet we're talking on a very low level. I want to just say this. What can I do? Pray. Be part of the church. Don't be a hitchhiker in the church. You know what a hitchhiker is? We used to do it for years, remember? Get in the car, I'm going there, thanks for the ride, shut the door, bye, thanks a lot. Did I pay for the gas? No. Did I change the tires? Change the oil? Wash the car? Did I have to buy new windshield wipers? No. Do I have to take care of it? Do I have to park it? Do I have to check it out? No. I got a free ride. I got a free ride. Unfortunately, some believers think of church life as hitchhikers. I'll come in and use all that you got. And when I'm done, I'm gone. I'll come in and you give to me. You help me with my family. You help me with my things and you give to me. And the minute I don't like your service, I'm out of here. Don't be a hitchhiker. Belong. Belong because Christ dwells in you. Jesus came and he paid the price. I'll pay the tab. I'll pay the price. I'll lay down my life. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And imagine if he gave us his Son, how much more will he freely give us? Not in the later life that is to come, but in this one. This is the one that is needing a confrontation with the devil and needing a battle with the evil and needing a message for our people. Okay. Amen. Thank you. Would you pray with me, please? Yes, Lord. Jesus. That we would put off the old man and put on the new man. That we would learn how to have a life with you of faith. That the church would be edified with every joint that supplies. That we'd learn how to live and actually own what we're part of. Actually to lay down our lives to embrace you, to experience you, to be Spirit-filled, to do your will. Somebody said, how could I be Spirit-filled? We say, do His will. Go ahead. Go for it. Make some decision. Do His will. Trust Him. Like we read in Psalm 119, He will turn away my eyes. He will correct me. He will teach me. He will lead me. Yes. Lord, thank you for this church, all those fine people up on the stage, all these fine people in the chairs, all these fine people that have found the reality of Christ in life. Build us up in all that we do, not by striving, but in faith rest and in faith and love. Lead us as a body to be the salt, the light in these times. Jesus, if you're here today and you don't have Christ in your life, today's the day for you to say to Jesus, I believe in you. I need you. There's no one like you. No one loves me like you do. No one cares about me like you do. No one has compassion like you do. No one talks to me like you do. Nobody will carry me through death. You will. Nobody could ever lead me to heaven, but only you brought me there. And in fact, I am there now. In God's mind, I'm already accepted in Him. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. Raise your hand if you're saying that prayer for the first time today. There's a hand over there, I think. Anyone else, raise your hand. Say yes to Christ, anyone. Yes to Him. Yes to Jesus. And then in your heart, get real close to God. In your heart, bring Him all the stuff, and He'll take care of it. In your heart, and submit yourself to what He says to you, and participate with Him, and belong, and be part of it in your heart. And do it in the life of faith in Christ. Your life would be more than just a Sunday morning, but it would be more. It would be your heart filled and satisfied Sunday to Sunday, all through the week, in a life that God gave you by His grace and fills you, satisfies you. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.